All right. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, and I'm so happy that you're here. Welcome back to the Pop Your Biz in 2015 International Interview Series, and I am your hostess with the mostess, Amanda Moxley, and I'm known as a Healthy Wealthy Biz Mentor, and I help women end their money drama and create profitable, portable, and playful businesses. And I have gathered my soul sisters, amazing, super successful in business as well as in life and family and home and health, these successful women from around the world, from Australia and Canada, United Kingdom, and even in all over Canada and the United States and Europe. So this is so fun. I'm so happy to have you here. And I wanted to bring these ladies together to give you our secrets to how we popped our biz and to let you know exactly what we did to catapult ourselves from where you might be right now to having a profitable business and lifestyle that we used to only dream about. And we really want you to know how easy you can do this as long as you're up for the challenge and doing the inner work. So we're going to spill all of our secrets, the good, the bad, and the truly heinous and fun, to make 2015 the year that you pop your biz. So today, I have my friend, the gorgeous, the one and only Kendra Thornbury. And I have known Kendra for super many years. I just think she's such a light in the world and such a kindred spirit. And so I'm so happy she's here. And we both share the love of Kauai, and we see each other when we go there. It happens to overlap. And Kendra, I'll give you her professional bio so you can get a feel for her. So Kendra helps soul-centered women and evolutionary leaders create spiritual and financial freedom so that they have a greater impact and make more money, all while being true to who they are. She is passionate about making it easy for those called to serve the awakening on the planet to effectively help more people while doubling, tripling, or quadrupling their income. Kendra is an international, highly acclaimed coach, spiritual guide, speaker, facilitator, humanitarian, and entrepreneur. And she's on the cutting edge of spiritual thought and conscious big business practice, blazing a new trail and wealth revolution. She has served as a board member for the Women's Business Exchange, Women's Way Red Lodge, and has been president for the Washington chapter of the International Coaching Federation. A personal growth junkie, Kendra's latest adventures in challenging the status quo include packing her belongings in storage and traveling for 3 years and still counting. That's awesome. Labels aside, she considers herself a human being simply doing her best to walk a path of authenticity and integrity while making a much-needed difference. Thank you, Kendra, and welcome.
Woohoo! Thank you. It's so great to be here with you again, Amanda.
Woohoo! No, it's so good. So go ahead and bring us in. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you popped your biz, and give it to us, girl.
Oh yeah, thanks. Well, you know, my journey, just so many of ours, is riddled with struggle and stress and strain. And I begin with that just because I think it's so important to come together in this community, you know, unified in the spirit of understanding that, you know, none of us have been untouched by struggle and strain, and it has absolutely no bearing on whether you can create success or not. You know, a lot of times we think that, oh, you know, I'm struggling, or, you know, I got this challenge, or I still have to heal this wound or whatever. So we separate ourselves from that belief that, you know, we can create the dream lifestyle, we can have more money, we can contribute in meaningful ways. And so my journey definitely has had its share of that, and I have had my money drama, which I know is one of your expertises, is helping us get out of it. So mm-hmm. As far as my career goes, you know, I've worked in social services. After college, you know, I spent a number of years working with people with developmental disabilities, teaching advocacy skills and self-determination skills. And, you know, I've always been geared towards change work, you know, doing global change, social change kind of work. And you know, there was a stirring in me for a while that felt that work wasn't big enough for me. I felt stifled in it, not because it wasn't rewarding. There were a lot of gifts that I got from that era of my career, but I knew it was bigger, right? and I wanted to go international. And so one of the ways I did that was is in 2005 and 2006, I went to Nigeria, and I did some humanitarian work there. I was involved with a documentary. I was involved with peace-building efforts, and that was a real turning point in my career. You know, I had graduated with my master's degree, and at that point, I was still a business hobbyist. You know, I was in that perpetual state of preparing to be a businesswoman. You know what I mean? Like, I was always studying and doing more healing work, and, oh, I'll take one more course so I can learn, you know, this or that. And when I returned from Nigeria, I just was like, you know, wake up, woman. You know, it's time to stop perfecting yourself, and it's time to get out there and take that leap. And actually, I had a couple of kicks in the keister from the universe that was just like, you know, wake up. I lost my job. My dad was diagnosed with cancer, and I had to move out of the place I was renting all within a period of 3 weeks. So whether I felt like, whether my ego felt ready or not, you know, the universe orchestrated and said, it's time, right? So I went into this whole entrepreneurship thing, feeling a lot of trepidation in some regards, and yet also feeling like, okay, this is my mission, this is my purpose. You know, I'm a lousy employee because I like to be in charge. And I knew that there was something that I could serve in this world that was a lot bigger. So, you know, the first couple of years, Amanda, were a struggle for me. You know, I definitely was in that cycle of, how am I going to pay my bills? And, oh, no, what if I have to get a J-O-B? And what if people find out that, you know, even though I'm a great coach, I'm struggling with paying my rent? And, you know, there were a variety of things that I started employing, you know, mindset secrets and success habits that really things started turning themselves around. And so 2011, you know, my income tripled. I had a launch and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, it's working, right? And then from there, it just kept increasing. You know, my income would double again, it would triple again, and I broke six figures, and then I, you know, was creating multiple six figures. And in a way, it feels like it happened in a very short amount of time. But as you said so well at the beginning, there has been a lot of inner work that's created this success that I'm experiencing. And the last couple of years, you know, my belongings have been in storage, and, you know, I've been building my business and experiencing my dream lifestyle while going to places like Belize and Bali and Peru. I'm actually leaving for Peru again in a couple of days. You know, I lead VIP days and retreats for my clients in Kauai and Sedona. And it's just, it's amazing. I'm graced with such incredible work, and I'm having the impact that I want to have. You know, it's like now that I've ended my money drama, I can really focus on the purpose that I'm here for. So that's a bit about my journey. It's been a wild ride, and here we are.
No kidding. That's so awesome. Well, what would you say, so what were kind of like the mindset things that you've really engaged in, or how did things change in your mind to allow you to, you know, pay the bills and make it as a successful entrepreneur and believe in yourself and, right?
Yeah, well, one of the key turning points for me in terms of mindset was really shifting into an all-in mentality. And when it comes to money, I think that money is a teacher. And when I started viewing it from that standpoint, some of the things that I needed to clean up were able to happen in a much swifter manner. Swifter manner. I don't know if that made sense. It happened fast. Because up until that point, as much as I was longing for greater success, as much as I was like, oh, yeah, I really want to make more money, I still had a bit of victim mentality about money. And I think that we really need to get real in our community about this and recognize that in order to create the success and the results that we desire, we have to take responsibility for our results and our reality. And I think I had done that up until a certain point, right? Like, I feel like I was talking the talk and, you know, I was using, you know, the law of attraction and a lot of these things. But really, there was still a bit of me that felt like I was a victim to money. And so, you know, I can remember there was this day that I was brought to tears and I was just down on the ground. I just dropped to the earth and I was like, okay, life, spirit, source, you know, enough is enough. I have good work to do in this world and I'm tired of just being in the smallness of my struggle. Like, you know, what? Part of it was that I had this talking to God, right? I was like, listen, we need to get some things straightened up here. And there was a stance that I had in that conversation. There was a shift from me feeling like I was a helpless victim into me being the responsible creator and being like, okay, this is how it's going to be from here on in, okay? I'm going to thrive. I'm going to make money. I'm going to be, you know, contributing at a much bigger level. So we need to get on the same page here. And I started acting differently. I started making different choices. And I really came from a stance of I'm all in versus, money still is this thing that I'm victim to. So that was a significant game changer for me. That's really when things started popping.
Oh, I love that. It's so true because, you know, you could just take it so personally and, like, I'm just, like, victim, like, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da, and, like, you're like, no, listen, this is how it's going down. Like, I am a rock star. I am doing this. I am on a divine mission, and we are doing this. And then, like, did you have to continuously have little chats like that with God and yourself,
yeah,
or was it, like, a one-time wonder?
Well, it was a one-time wonder in terms of the initiation. Like, I felt like something happened, like something fundamentally shifted within me that day. And, you know, for all you tuning in, you know, you may just, like, check in, like, oh, am I still pleading for help, you know? Do I go to life or source or God or whatever it is that you relate to with a stance that there's a power and a force outside of you that you're looking to guide you or looking to help you? Because that was part of the fundamental, like, one-time wonder was like, no, I am the source, right? I am the source. It's within me. So there was something that was really, wow, initiated and ignited in me from that conversation. But I appreciate your question because it does underscore that it is a daily choice. You know, it is a daily exercise and practice. And I do commune with Source every day. I do have these chats every day. And it's a practice of maintaining the mentality, of maintaining the vibration at such a high level because, you know, we're inundated with stimulus from media, from family of origin, from, you know, the naysayers. You know, you can go to the grocery store or the bank and hear people talking, you know, in a complaining manner about money all the time. So, you know, we need to stay fierce and vigilant about maintaining the mentality that matches what we desire. So it is an ongoing practice. And, you know, our egos are so insidious that, you know, some of the smaller part of ourselves, our insecurities, our voices from the past, you know, they can creep back in. So I stay on it every day.
Well, I love it. Me too. You have to. So that's super juicy. Mm-hmm. It's not just like a one time, but it's a vigilance. It is
mm-hmm.
a daily practice.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think like mindset has been your biggest like battle or your biggest or to you like is business more mindset and that connection to spirit and moving on in that divine service or is it a lot of marketing or is it, you know, like what would you say has been like that combo or just that one silver bullet that's helped you pop your biz?
Mindset Yeah, absolutely. I'm emphatic about it. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many marketing skills, how good you are at copywriting, how masterful you are at sales, if you do not have the mindset to execute it, the mindset that really makes you the magnetic attractive force to bring your clients to you, to bring the money to you, right? And that's not to dismiss that all of those nuts and bolts are an important asset to business building. Absolutely, you do need them. But, you know, everything is energy, and our reality is just a demonstration of what's going on inside of us. So, you know, the way is made open. Like, to me, sales, for instance, which was one of my big hurdles in business. I mean, I was like, oh, gosh, you know, I don't like how I felt when I would have that money conversation in the sales call, right? Like, there was so much. And even, you know, having a template in front of me, or, you know, getting the right guidance and coaching, that was all important. And I could be told exactly what to say, but until I had my mindset breakthrough around being on a sales conversation, that I felt confident, I felt clear, I knew the value of what I was delivering, I knew the service that was absolutely, you know, something I could stand behind for this prospect. Like, that was all mindset, right? And then in terms of following the template of a sales call, then, oh, that was just easy. But I had to get the mindset first.
Mm-hmm. So true, and that's how I am too. It's like full blown in between the ears, and it is a battle, and it's like, I see that with so many people's mindset. So I love that you're bringing that up. And like, but I sometimes wonder though, you know, because some of my colleagues, they're fine. I mean, I'm fine mentally, but like, they're more marketing, and I'm like, and then I'm like, okay, maybe it's just marketing and it's not so much mindset. You know, it's like an interesting, I wonder if it's more for, like, I consider myself like emotional, spiritual, sensitive, you know, feeling. And so I wonder if there's like the two different kinds of people who do business, and, you know, one is just like mindset, and it's more marketing. Mm. So what do you think about that? Have you ever thought about that?
Oh, of course. I think that's a great question. I mean, I think some of it is your disposition, you know, and your values and how you want to show up in the world. I mean, I am a very heart-centered person. I very much am leading my business through a spiritual lens, and I'm very interested in conscious business. More than interested, I'm devoted to helping birth a new paradigm of business that really brings our heart, that really brings a level of consciousness that's for the good of all. So, you know, I have some values and I have some aspirations that may be different from other kinds of business owners. I don't think that's necessarily better or one's more valid than the other. I do think it's our responsibility to be more conscious of how we're leading our businesses so that it's more sustainable for the planet, right? Because I could just focus on marketing and how to create a profit and look at the bottom line, but then I could still be contributing to the old paradigm that you know, it perpetuates that there's still some scarcity on this planet. I mean, my mission is to help eradicate poverty on the planet, so I'm looking at a bigger picture, you know? There are people, also colleagues, that, as well as clients in this industry, that have come to me for guidance and for coaching because they have solely focused on the marketing and the sales, and they feel like their spirit has been squelched. You know, I talk about, like, an example of one of my clients that came to me 2 years ago. Like, she had done all the quote-unquote right things, and she'd gone to the masterminds, and she'd done the coaching, and she uses the sales page formulas, and she had, you know, done all of what she was taught. But even though she had made six figures, she didn't have time to enjoy it. She didn't have space to appreciate her feminine, you know, self. She didn't have time to be with her family. So I think a lot of times when we're just geared towards those traditional business skills, we lose our soul and we lose access to our creativity. And So she was like, you know, if I have to make money and give up who I am, then I don't want to make six figures. And, you know, the good news is it's not either or. And I was able to teach her how to, you know, make that six figures and honor her feminine spirit. So those are some of my thoughts about it. I think that we are in a time and an age where we need more than just executing skills of one side of our brain. Like I think our beings are longing for a more holistic model, you know? Does that resonate or make sense to you at all?
100%. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think the it needs to be more balanced. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for answering. So what would you say, like, in your business, I'm going to ask you, I mean, I know we don't believe that there's really failure, it's all just feedback, but if you were to think about, like, this failure, your biggest, like, big learning thing moment, what would that be?
Ooh, that's a great question. So while I've been in business, something that would be, like, a big learning moment, failure / feedback kind of thing.
Exactly.
Ah! Oh, my gosh. What would that be? What would that be? Da-da-da-da-da. I have, like, a couple things that come to mind, and then I just kind of blank out on it. I think that one of the biggest feedbacks for me has just been around doing launches that have felt like a flop. So, you know, thinking I'm doing, again, all the right things, following the formulas, following the templates, and, you know, getting, like, on a preview seminar, and there's, like, two people on the line. I was mortified, you know, and I would think, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm not supposed to be in this business. I'm not doing it right. Nobody wants what I have. You know, and then I would, okay, I'm going to persist. I'll follow through on the rest of this launch, and, you know, barely anybody signs up. And I think that the failure, the potential failure in that would have been to take it personally, to have interpreted it as something is wrong, I'm not on the right track. But after some really good cries and some good mentorship and support from masterminds and sisters and so forth, I did some healing around, you know, feeling like I wasn't good enough, you know, feeling like, oh no, you know, that means that I've been rejected, and was able to really evaluate objectively, where did I go wrong in that launch? You know, and I think that's really key in looking at feedback, and especially because, I mean, I work with women and I'm a woman, and you know, I think that as women we overly personalize things, and so we think that it's about us, and we think that it's emotional, and this would be one of those times where you just need to put on your business hat and evaluate, where could I improve? You know, was I really marketing as boldly as I could be? And a lot of times when we look back on it, it's like, oh, my gosh, I was so holding back in that launch. You know, it's like I put out two mentions and I was hoping that, like, you know, 100 people or 500 people would show up. And, you know, you really do have to be strategic. So I've been able to tweak and refine my launches to such that, you know, people show up now. So that's what comes as one of my failures, is the so-called, like, launch flop.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I have definitely had those before where it wasn't like a massive flop, but it's just like you're expecting totally different results. And so you do have to get your business, and you have to, like, look at the numbers and the copy and then the energy, and, you know, so that's a really good one. And I think I love what you said about people can over personalize.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's about me. And then, but I love how you did the inner work about, you know, not being good enough. I mean, that's really important. So, you know,
And we have to do that to turn it around faster too, right? Because when you have something that can be like a seeming failure or a flop or what have you, like, you know, you can't spend another 3 months doing healing work around it, you know? I mean, well, you can, but then, you know, it costs you a lot of time and momentum. So that's another reason why mindset stuff is so important, so that you can quickly, you know, shift it up, right? Like, okay, whoo, okay, how did I get triggered in this? What do I need to shift up? What do I need to clear up? Great. Okay, next week, next launch, let's go for it, right? And you keep going.
Yeah.
You can't let it take you out of, you can't let it take you out of the game.
Uh-huh. I love it. I know, because so many people, they're just so deep in their process, and then it's just, like, kind of funny, you know, but not. People will spend, like, 3 months healing it, and then it's like, you need to make money this month, so let's just, you know, shift it quick. Yeah, it was like shifting a gear on a bike. So, you know, how would you say, like, for the women on the line who need more mind, you know, definitely are loving, like, this mindset, and what would you say are some really juicy steps to help them pop their biz?
Around the mindset, the money mindset?
Mm-hmm. Or really anything. Maybe it's mindset, and maybe it's not just mindset. Maybe it's, something else. So give it. Mm-hmm. How do you think these ladies can pop their biz?
Yeah. Well, I think that one way that you can pop your biz is to give yourself permission to be audaciously the original you. There's a way that being a copycat of other people, which is very tempting, because now we're saturated in this industry in particular. You know, there's a lot of, like, here's this three-step formula to that, and use this template, and then you'll all of a sudden create six figures in 6 months. And, you know, so we're all looking for that magic bullet. And really, you are the magic bullet. It's your originality. It's the unique essence of who you are. And that can be the most vulnerable part of marketing, is putting yourself out there. But you've got to get in touch with, you know, what makes me unique? What makes me stand out from other people, so that you don't just like meld into the whole environment of, like, oh yeah, you know, everybody's saying the same thing. And that can feel like really, really vulnerable. You know, we have to get over our visibility issues for one thing. But, you know, people who are able to gain traction faster in their marketing, you know, they stand out. They're saying something unique. They're saying something different. They're saying something controversial, right? You know, and that's one of those things that, you know, for me has been like, oh, you know, I ruffle people's feathers. Like, I say things that people are like, oh my God, I can't believe she said that, you know? So, you know, that's a biggie. And I see how much people hold back in their marketing because they want to be liked. So that would be the other thing that will pop your business, is you have to give up your quest to be liked. It's one of my biggest prosperity tips. Give up your obsession with being liked.
I love
it. We all have it. I know. We all have it. We're so conditioned where I want to be liked, and we think that we'll get more business when we're liked. You know what? It's not true. You're going to have less business when you're obsessed with being liked. You got to be obsessed with being of service, and you've got to let go of your care and concern that there are going to be people that are going to say no. There are going to be people that are like, ooh, I don't like her message. You want that polarization in your business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good. I love how you called it a prosperity secret also.
Yeah.
Because that is so true. Like, just standing out and being your authentic self and not copying and being you. I mean, it does bring up your visibility issues. Like, one of our, I have this, I know you're going into your tips, but, like, I have a lady I follow online, and, I mean, she'll post pictures of her, like, they are not attractive. I mean, she's pretty, and yet, you know, she's just not dressed up. She's, like, with her and a stuffed animal, like, doing a weird face. And, I mean, it's, like, I would never do a photo like that, but, like, it's so interesting because her business is so successful, and she's completely herself. And so I love what you're saying here for us to just, you know, even if it's not, like, perfect and hair and makeup and all this, but, like, just be you. I love it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I do use universal law in my business and how I've been able to manifest money in a really rapid rate. And one of them is the law of attraction. You know, that which is like unto itself is drawn. And when you are being originally, authentically, essentially you, you have to trust that there is a magnetic match to those clients, to the community, that are going to resonate with who you are. right? You know, we're so conditioned towards scarcity and poverty thinking, and we think that there's not enough. There's not enough time. There's not enough love. There's not enough money. There's not enough clients. And so one of the ways that we sacrifice ourselves is that we give up who we are because we think, oh, well, if I'm a chameleon and I contort myself, then I'll make more money. And it's BS. The more true you are to yourself, the more money you'll make. That's been my experience, and that's the experience of my clients. You know, it's been amazing. The more I am me, the more money I make. And I know it's because of the law of attraction. I know it's because I eliminate all the clutter of the people who are not a match to me, because I'm being bold and I'm like, hey, this is who I am, right? And then people are just going to like fall away that are like, oh, she's so not for me. And that's okay. I let that go. And then the people who are like, whoa, there's something about who you are that just speaks to me. There's plenty of those people. And we all have those people for our business.
Yeah, exactly. Our perfect divine people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Any other tips to help these ladies pop the biz?
Oh, well, get your money in order. I mean, one of my quote unquote failures, which has just become a learning opportunity in the first couple of years of my business, is that I let my bills pile up. I was totally unorganized, and you know, money likes integrity. Okay, money likes integrity. So, you know, a lot of times when we're longing for more money and we think that money is going to rescue us and make everything okay, you know, we're really not being honest with ourselves with how out of integrity we are in our finances. So clean it up. Clean up your messes, right? Get organized. Hire a bookkeeper. Get familiar with numbers. Hiring a bookkeeper was so scary for me. It felt really vulnerable. I needed to clean up my taxes from the prior years, right? I didn't want anybody to know, you know. It's like, yeah, I haven't, you know, I've got a backlog of taxes, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, stop hiding in the shadows with your money and get familiar with your numbers, get comfortable with your numbers, and start to enjoy them by coming into integrity with them.
I love it. I know. I remember I tried to like myself QuickBooks. I was like, for those first 2 years, I'm like, I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm just going to do it myself. And I didn't have a separate checking account. Like, you definitely, if you're going to pop your biz, need to get clean. And it, like Kendra said, money likes integrity. Clean
mm-hmm.
that shiz up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, baby.
Cool. What would you, do you have any like daily, because you said you're vigilant and you're just so mm-hmm. fierce with your mindset. What kind of daily practices do you have around wealth consciousness and mindset around money?
Mm-hmm. Meditation. I mean, you know, learning how to be still with myself, learning how to be in the capacity, you know, to stretch my capacity to be with my discomfort, to be with all of who I am. It's key to making money, and it's like, oh yeah, meditation helps you make money. I mean, it really, it's just so clear to me now more than ever, because, you know, everything is energy, and you know, when we're not clear energetically, then we're just repelling money. So I spend time every day, you know, getting into my stillness, getting into my quietude, getting on top of my thoughts, not letting my thoughts be on top of me. And that comes with just learning how to watch my thoughts, right? People are like, well, what's meditation? And how do you stop the mind chatter, right? Like, a lot of people don't meditate because they're like, I don't know, you know. It's like, I'll start thinking about my grocery list. It's like, that's okay. You know, you just learn how to just be with it, you know. Mm-hmm. I move energy every day, Amanda. I mean, energy. Like, so for me, that means, you know, I get up, I have stretch breaks, I have dance breaks through the day. You know, if I'm like forcing myself through, you know, writing some copy for my sales page, like, then I know, you know, as soon as I'm feeling like tight or stressed or my muscles are contracted, I'm like, oh, no, dance break, you know. So I'm like, crank on some fun music, get in my body, you know, go for a walk, do some yoga. I just move my body every day and, you know, and breathe, just breathe, because, you know, if your channels are not open, you're not going to let money come through, right?
Oh, that's so, yeah, all that. So delish. I love it. Cool. Well, I know you have a really good gift for all of us. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
I'd love to. Yeah, I have an ebook for you, and it's titled Three Keys to Making Money Being You. And you know, this has come from my tears and lots of tears and trials and tribulations. And you know, it's really some of the keys that I have been exposed to and utilize in my business, so that you can create more money in a shorter time and really do it in a soulful way. I mean, to me, making money is easy, and it's even more easy when you're being authentic, right? And I think a lot of us are like, yeah, I don't want to just make money. I want to make money and be me. And so that's what I get into with this. I cover one of the biggest mistakes that I see coaches and entrepreneurs and healers make that keep them broke and stuck, and how to avoid them. Go into more tips for overcoming your money struggles. And I also really I expose some of the old wealth paradigms that just are BS, and how to move into the new paradigm so that it just you become a natural attractive force for wealth and riches. So that's an overview of the gift. Three keys to making money being you.
Oh, that sounds perfect. Well, cool, and we'll have that on our, on our speakers page for
Excellent.
everyone. And then
Yay.
we will, yeah, so people can connect with you there, and then also in our Facebook forum, unless you're traveling in some awesome country and you're not available to join us.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Peru for a couple of weeks.
Oh, that sounds so cool. Well, enjoy, and
Thank
thank you so
you.
much for being here. It's just
Oh,
such a
it's
treat
my
to hear from
pleasure.
you.
I adore you. It's so fun to play in this realm with you. And yeah, it's just such great your work you're doing and we're all doing together. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, thanks everyone. I'll see you in the Pop Your Biz Betty's group. Have a wonderful day wherever you are in the world. Namaste. Thanks, Kendra.
Bye.
Bye bye.